Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Greater New York Hospital Association Perinatal Safety Collaborative. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session, and instructions will follow at that time. If anyone should require operator assistance during the conference, please press star, then zero on your touchtone telephone. As a reminder, this conference call is being recorded. I would now like to introduce your host for today's presentation, Ms. Terry Straub. Ms. Straub, you may begin, ma'am.
Thank you, Howard. And also in the room with me this morning, is Hillary Jalon from United Hospital Fund. And we appreciate everyone dialing in. Just today's call is more or less housekeeping, answering and vetting some questions in regard to the collaborative process, what future expectations will be, and hopefully having everyone, when they leave the call today, have a better understanding of the direction we're moving in and what your the expectations of being a collaborative hospital actually are. So as we move forward, we will be opening up lines up for questions, and I strongly encourage everyone on the line to ask questions, ask for clarification, and hopefully we'll be able to provide clarification to you. But more importantly, we'd like everyone on the line to be comfortable with the collaborative process and be able to talk about it with other staff on your units. So thank you. What I'd first like to do is quickly go over the October 16th and 17th kickoff learning sessions. For each collaborative that we have, we start off the collaborative with some advisory panels. So Greater New York has a perinatal advisory panel that we put in place, and we're expanding membership on that panel to be more inclusive, more statewide, with organizations such as ACOG, MISNI, and other FOJP, the other carriers, and expert physicians and nurses to advise us on the direction of clinical issues and operational issues related to the details of the collaborative. That perinatal advisory panel has met two or three times. We'll have another meeting coming up in 2 weeks. And we encourage you, if you have a particular nurse or physician who is an expert in perinatal safety, to contact Hillary or I so that we can invite that individual to the perinatal advisory panel. So the advisory panel is actually the advisors, to a large extent, to the collaborative. Then the collaborative process is a process by which we have multiple hospitals, all of you on the line, working together for a common goal, and that's to improve perinatal safety on each of your units. And we would like to improve it by using standardized protocols, initiatives, standardized education, and training. So the kickoff was more or less an introduction to some of the potential types of trainings that may be applicable for all members of the collaborative to undertake moving forward. After each collaborative kickoff meeting, and that's a meet-and-greet session as well as education, we then move forward with these conference calls every other week. So every other week, henceforth for the next year, 11:30 on Thursdays, we will be having these collaborative conference calls. These conference calls are not intended only for those that came to the kickoff meeting or for your individual teams, but if staff is available on your unit, we encourage them, everyone, regardless of their position, to participate on the collaborative conference call. These are all-inclusive, and that's the biggest challenge of the collaboratives in our experience, is the diffusion of information across all staff on each of the units. So, again, these conference calls will be every other week. They're all-inclusive. Invite as many staff as possible. Ask questions as you are on these calls and clarification. The other pieces of the collaborative will be data collection, which we will discuss a little bit today, but we will not have any good answers as today. But that will be a focus of one conference call, the data issues. There is also a website that we'll be setting up and registering everyone on, and you will get all that information on the next conference call or via emails. Speaking of which, the emails, we have emails from the kickoff meeting, so we're entering them as we speak into a database, but we also encourage you to send us the email addresses of other staff on your units that should be receiving educational information and should be aware of any postings on the website once we launch it. And we need everyone's emails for the launching of the website so that we can register each of you on that site. And then we will be having additional learning sessions, the next one probably sometime in March, and then another one sometime next September or October. In between that, we'll be talking through this conference call process about what are the educational needs, what are the challenges, and how can we get everyone on each of the units in the collaborative educated using the same nomenclature, the same level of knowledge in regard to fetal monitoring, strip interpretation, and the same crew resource management training so that you're queued up and activating a rapid response to the individual issues as they occur. On reviewing the October 16th and 17th evaluations, Hillary has put together a comprehensive list of responses, and as everyone should have received these in the email. As you can see from the evaluations of the program, they were all excellent, so we were really pleased with the evaluations. And from our perspective, organizing the collaborative, I know we learned a lot, and it was reinforcing, I guess, to us as we enter the collaboratives, we're not always sure what the educational needs are or what direction we should go in, but it was reinforcing to us that we're on the right track and that this is one direction that really needs to be paid attention to. There has been a lot of training out there for physicians. It has not been always interdisciplinary, and the key to success here is really this interdisciplinary training and standardization of practice across the system. Hillary, do you want to say anything on the evaluation?
I think there were almost 400 people there, so the responses that we got, it just includes both days together just because the content was exactly the same on both days. And the thing that always strikes Terry and me about these evaluations are the open-ended comments. So there were so many this time, and we tried to group them according to topic area. And there were a few things that struck me when looking at this. The first thing that I just want to bring up, a few of the NICU or neonatal staff felt that the fetal monitoring was relevant only to the obstetric staff, but we want to emphasize through this collaborative that it really is not only interdisciplinary, but it's the whole team approach.
Interdepartmental.
Exactly. That's just so important in this. And Michael Fox always talks to us about that, how important it is for the entire, all the departments to be involved in this. And I think as the collaborative progresses, people will understand this more and more.
And I guess what struck me based on some of those comments from the neonatal staff was Michael Leonard really strongly emphasized that we invite the neonate staff to the collaborative session because he feels it's important that anesthesia, the neonatology staff, and everyone understands the fetal monitoring strip tracing so that they know what they're responding to, number one, and number two, that they can be activated quickly and they know that the staff is all on the same page with the interpretation of the fetal monitoring strips so that they can call pediatrics and others to the labor room. So that said, there may be many issues and instances throughout the collaborative where individuals think, oh, it's not my problem, it's not my job, or it's not in my department. But the real big picture is there can be no more silos in perinatology or in any healthcare delivery system. We need to break down those silos and work together as a team. That said, operator, I'd like to ask you to open up the lines to questions in regard to or comments in regard to the kickoff session, and then we'll move on and talk about the calendar, which is also in your handout for future events. And we encourage you to post that in a good location on your unit. So,
yes,
operator, Howard?
Yes, ma'am. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question or comment regarding the information you just discussed, please press the 1 key on your touch-tone telephone. If your question has been answered, you need to remove yourself from the queue. Please press the pound key. Again, if you have a question or comment at this time, please press the 1 key on your touch-tone phone. Our first question or comment comes from the line of Mary Galligan. Your line is open.
Hi, my name is Elizabeth. I'm the administrative nurse manager for labor and delivery at Montefiore Hospital.
Hello.
How are you? We all enjoyed the conference of October 16th and 17th. The question we have does not have anything to do with this morning, but we are struggling a little bit with what projects that we need to work on, and we're wondering when, if we're going to get help, you know, with coming up with what we need to work on. Not that we don't have safety issues, but we have so many different issues and ideas on that.
Okay, and we'll talk about that. So hopefully you don't have to work on any particular project yet.
Okay.
We'll get into talking about the culture safety, climate safety survey, and that will be the first initiative.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments or questions?
Our next question or comment comes from the line of Mimi Lim. Your line is open.
Hello? Mimi?
You may need to unmute your line.
Hello?
There you are.
Good. Hi, how are you? This is Steve Schuster. I'm the Director of Safety and OBGYN at New York Hospital in Queens. And I wanted to get some sense of putting everyone on the same page, so to speak. We've done some or a lot of what you've described in terms of rapid response team known as Team Blue for postpartum hemorrhage that our chairman, Dr. Eglinton, and others on the staff have put forth. And we've trained several hundred people in maternal child health, including clerks, techs, nurses, PAs, nurse clinicians, and doctors in the team training and the crew resource management. And we've done that over about a year, year and a half or so. And so we're at a place where we're looking to implement or continuing to implement. Our next steps had to do with the fetal monitoring initiative. Our nurses have been trained in that. The next step with the private attendings and the full-timers and the PAs to make sure that everyone's on the same page with the nomenclature and such, increasing the drills and perhaps increasing staff-patient interaction skills. So we're at a certain stage, and I'm sure others in the audience are at different stages also. How do we meld these so that we get these all together at one time?
That's a great comment, Dr. Schuster, and many hospitals are at definitely at different points. Since you're so advanced with your crew resource management and Team Blue training, a big focus of this collaborative will be the standardization of the nomenclature and the fetal monitoring strip interpretation. I think when we talk about the collaborative, what we're talking about for this collaborative, and maybe we should coin the term, it's the management of labor collaborative, so that it's all-encompassing. When we move forward, we'd like to, and I believe New York Hospital of Queens has already done culture safety surveys. I'm not sure if you've done them standardized for everyone on the perinatal unit, but that will be the first thing that we want to look at. Secondly, we'll be talking about how do we get possibly funds an initiative that we can all get trained together, physicians and nurses and doctors. Sounds like you trained your nurses on fetal monitoring strip, but we'd like to see some of that training on include physicians and nurses in the room together. I think that made a big difference when we had the session on October 16th and 17th, and actually we had some comments actually about that it made a big difference to have nurses and physicians in the room at the same time talking, especially when to activate decision to incision and getting the patients into the OR room and waiting for the attending to come in. We're looking at staffing issues, drills in the future, and your point about staff intervention interaction is a very good one. That we need to address. But I think we need to go through the calendar today and then as a group brainstorm as far as where each of your hospitals are. Our goal through this collaborative, one of our major goals, is to make sure every single staff person on your unit and every physician has received the crew resource management, fetal monitoring strip interpretation training, and then hopefully develop a standardized test for all the collaborative members that can be administered by your hospitals and create a certification. That may be a bigger thing than we can actually achieve, but I firmly believe as healthcare professionals it's achievable if we do it on a unit-by-unit basis.
Thank you very much. I know I speak for my chairman, Dr. Eglinton, when I say that whatever we can do to help, we'd like to, and we'll look forward to benefit from your efforts. Thank you.
And that's from yours. New York Queens has been very helpful on the RRF and other initiatives and has led the way in many areas.
Again, ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question or comment at this time, please press the 1 key on your touchtone phone. Our next question or comment comes from the line of Marianne DiStefano from Staten Island. Your line is open.
Hi, this is Mary Jane Bailey from Staten Island University Hospital. My question is, are we going to be using a universal fetal monitoring program for this interdisciplinary teaching? Yes, we'll be using the NICHD guidelines, but are we going to have a standardized program where we'll be developing one? A1 has a fetal monitoring program out. Where should we be looking to actually have our interdisciplinary education coming from?
Well, hopefully, you know what, why don't we get back to that, Mary? Let's stick.
That's fine. Thanks.
Yeah, I hear you. I've heard about the A1 program. It's very nurse-specific. So our challenge is what that program will be and how do we fund a program moving forward. And I have a few different ideas, but I just want to continue through the housekeeping issues, get to the climate of safety survey, and then we can talk as a group as far as what that standardized program would be. And, yes, big answer, yes, we'd like a standardized program. Hard to answer what that program is, we're not quite sure.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Again, ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question or comment at this time, please press the 1 key on your touch-tone phone. Our next question or comment comes from the line of Martha Caprio from Tisch Hospital. Your line is open.
Thank you.
Hi, Dr. Caprio. Oh, Martha?
This is a question from a neonatal perspective. My colleagues, Dr. Wasserman and Dr. Kim, are here, and we'd just like to have some insight as far as neonatology and pediatrics and the planning, since fetal monitoring is implemented, you know, early on and the plan is started. We're usually called way into the plan. So can you give us your insight into our role?
Through the perinatal advisory panel, I'm hoping that you can provide us that detailed insight. At what point do you want to be called in and help define your role so that you are brought in earlier in the plan and not later in the plan?
Okay, because we were wondering about the fetal monitoring and our role in assessing fetal monitoring strips.
Well, I don't know if you'd actually have to assess them yourself, but I think it's helpful if you're part of the determination of what you want to do with the mother based on the interpretation from the physician, so that you're available to manage the neonate.
Well, this is Dr. Wasserman. I'm here with Dr. Caprio because one of the concerns that we brought up at the meeting in Pelham was that even during the presentation, there was no incorporation of pediatrics or the resuscitation team for the baby in the planning, like as we're getting closer to making decisions about delivery. And it would be important for that to be part of the process.
And that's great, and that's why we're having the perinatal advisory panel in these conference calls, so that as we develop whatever that certification program is, we can include your issues in that program and make it an integral part of the process.
Thank you.
Great, thanks.
We look forward
to it. Yes, and you are the experts that will have to guide us there.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next question or comment comes from the line again of Mimi Lim from New York Queens Hospital. Your line is open.
Hi, this is Steve Schuster again. Just to respond to Dr. Caprio, during our team training, we had the nurse clinicians, neonatologists and such not only participate but actually taught part of the course. And the principles are extend beyond simply labor and delivery, so I think that's readily accomplishable, just buy them into the system.
Thank you. Okay, operator, if there are no further questions, what I'd like to do is make sure everyone on the call has the calendar.
We have no further questions in the queue at this time.
Okay. And on the calendar, you'll see that we'll be asking for different information over the course of the year. The square boxes in the dates indicate a conference call date. And the diamonds indicate the date when monthly reports will be due to Greater New York. And we'll discuss those monthly reports moving forward. At this point, their deliverable that we will be discussing will be the next item on your agenda, and that's administering the safety climate survey. So as you recall, at the kickoff session, we handed out copies of a safety climate survey. And this is critical in all the literature and speaking to all the experts in quality and patient safety and trying to determine as a measure whether or not an initiative is successful. So we distributed these surveys. What our expectation is that every single nurse and physician on the in the perinatal setting actually answers the survey, and in the envelopes that we provided to you, those surveys come back to the Greater New York Hospital Association. These are anonymous surveys. We only ask that you make sure the name of your hospital is on the envelope when it's sent back to us so that we can aggregate the data for you and send you back your own individual reports. And then we will create much larger aggregate reports so you can compare your performance against the performance of the collaborative members as a whole. But it's all confidential information. Greater New York represents its members. We serve you, and we do not disclose any of this information to anyone unless you request us to do so. So I'd like to go through the survey, and if you don't have it with you or you need other copies, we will email copies of the safety survey to you. This is the survey we selected is the simplest one out there, and that's why we selected it. It's the easiest to answer. It is not complicated. It may not be the best out there, but our goal is to just get a sense of what's going on and to give each hospital a place to start in regard to what your culture is and what your staff actually believe. So the questions are 19 questions in which staff just fills out answers whether they disagree or whether it's applicable, what their position is, what their experience is, and their age. And then they can write their unit on the survey. In this case, it's not necessary because we know it's from the perinatal safety unit, but if you as an organization would like them to write the individual units so that you could have your own individual analysis by unit, that we will defer to you for that. Otherwise, we will be just collecting it in aggregate. So by November 28th, the first diamond that you have in your report, we'd like to have 100% compliance in the perinatal safety area with filling out that survey. I don't know if that's reasonable or not, but it should take each staff member probably about 5 to 10 minutes to fill it out. And if anyone does not have an envelope to send it back or you don't know where to send it back to, we can certainly send out that information to you again. So, operator, I'd like to just open up the line to talk about the culture safety survey to see if anyone has experience with us that they can advise us on this particular initiative and to vet any questions in regard to the survey process.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question or a comment at this time, please press the 1 key on your touch-tone telephone. Our first question or comment comes from the line of Wendy Wilcox from Montefiore. Please hold. Your line is open.
Hello.
Hi, Wendy.
Hi, how are you? So I've already started administering the survey to some of our physicians, and we've gotten a pretty good response rate. I guess my question comes in terms of the numbering system. I was a little administered the survey, and I did keep track of who's completed it and who hasn't. However, the individual surveys do not have numbers on them.
Okay.
No problem?
Yes. We're here.
So as part of what we sent to you before this conference call was a sort of a methodology for administering the survey. I don't know if you got that.
Yeah, I have it.
And,
I have it here.
And IHI used to have this on their website, and they gave some suggestions for making sure, if you want to know who's filling out what, they gave some suggestions and a criteria for a numbering system.
Right.
So just as I can go through one of the suggestions that they give, that let's say you're administering 120 surveys.
Right.
And then you want to know which are nurses, which are physicians, the different disciplines involved. Actually individually number each survey so that if you're administering it on January 3rd, for instance, you can make a numbering system like 0103 as the first part of the number.
Right.
And you know that the first 50 surveys that you gave out were nursing staff, so the next part of that number would include a dash, and then it would be 001. So the first person in that row would be a nurse, and you'd put that through 050.
Okay.
And you could do that for each discipline. That's just one suggestion.
Okay.
You could do it any way you want that's easiest for your
hospital. You could actually just number all the ones, the nurses, all the twos, the physicians.
Right. My other question would be, do you want us to go through and kind of see where we fall, I guess, before we mail them to you, or do you not want us to touch them at all and just mail them in and you guys would do this?
Yeah, we'll do all the work for you.
Okay.
And the beauty of this, too, is that, as Carrie said, it wouldn't just be your own data, it would be the aggregate data as well.
Right.
That's really powerful. And the other thing I just want to say about this is the response rate. The researchers who developed the survey suggest a 65% response rate, but as Carrie said, we really want everyone on the units to.
This survey will serve as an introduction to the staff who were not part of the kickoff meeting, so it'll help them understand, hopefully, what the much bigger picture is, and that's why we're really striving for a high response rate.
Thank you.
And I guess, and I throw this question out to everyone on the call, one of the key issues that I know you all struggle with is staffing. So we saw from the initial assessment that quite a number of the hospitals use agency nurses as part of the staffing complement. So the question is, do you believe, and we will defer to everyone on the call, should you get your agency nurses to fill out this survey, number one? And then number two, as we move forward with the collaborative, we need to make sure we include agency or per diem staffing in any of the education and training that is undertaken. Operator, could you open up the line?
Yes, ma'am. Our next question or comment comes from the line of Mimi Lim from New York Queens Hospital. Your line is open.
Dr. Schuster?
Well, hi. This is Gary Eglinton.
Hi, Gary.
How you doing?
Good.
My question is about trying to get voluntary physicians. The vast majority of our obstetricians are private physicians, and we in the past have had very little luck getting them to respond to anything other than pick up a paycheck, a bagel, and a cup of coffee. But beyond that, they're not responsive. So
maybe they don't get the bagel and the coffee unless they fill it out. I don't know, Gary. I think this is a major challenge, but we cannot let this be something that is not addressed since they are a critical part of the collaborative, and this will be a struggle, I think, every step we take in this collaborative. How do we get the attending physicians involved? I don't know if a letter can go out from the CEOs to the individual attendings and ask them to fill out the survey, maybe with a coupon for the bagel when they come into work.
Actually, with the current financial crisis in New York State, we cut out bagels and coffee. So the question really is, what do you imagine the mechanism is? I mean, or what's the logistics? Do you anticipate handing the survey face-to-face to physicians?
I think that is the ideal way. That's how the drug companies get the doctors to listen. I know they bring lunch, but they do detailing. And I think as we move forward, the survey, again, will serve as an introduction to the physicians about the collaborative. And by handing it to them, it hopefully will help engage them as they're doing their first medical record or as they're waiting for a mother in, in labor to deliver, there seems to be some time that possibly they could fill out the survey, and it takes 5 minutes. Without having the attendings involved, we're losing a big piece of this. That's one model. The other model would be a letter from the CEO with the survey so that when it's handed to them, they're getting this backing from the CEO saying, you know, we strongly encourage you to do this. If you have a physician champion or the chair OB who is willing to get on board and make this part of the process, I would encourage it through that piece. And you know what? Hopefully, I think moving forward, it can become more integral part of the credentialing process, the privileging process, that physicians need to be part of this team approach because the system is so broken. I don't know if that's helpful, Gary.
Well,
I know.
Yeah.
When Hillary and I come out.
Yeah, I'm the chairman. They don't read what I write to them, and they don't read what the CEO writes to them. You know, so.
Okay.
You know, we'll hope for the best.
Well, let's not let this issue go. And if there are others on the line who've dealt with this, this is a great opportunity to share experiences and try to figure out how we could do this.
Our next question or comment comes from the line of Lorraine O'Neill from Columbia University. Your line is open.
So, Terry, answering that, we have done the safety attitude questionnaire here at Columbia from Brian Sexton, and I personally hand them out myself. And what we have found the best across the five institutions that have done this is with the private physicians. To either meet them at grand rounds and hand it out to them and give them time to do that, to make arrangements with the secretaries that they will be dropped off and to pick them up, or to badger them when they're in the delivery room working. Those are the things that we have found best. Leaving them in an envelope, sending out emails, we really have found have not helped us.
Thank you, Lorraine. And what was your response rate, Lorraine? Okay, I guess she's disconnected.
Our line is still open.
Oh, okay.
Hello.
Lorraine?
93%.
Wow, that's
amazing.
Fabulous.
That is amazing.
But I will tell you, though, we are going to hand this out to a larger group this time. Primarily before, we had just done the delivery room and the ancillary anesthesia, but we are going to open it up to everybody else, so this will be a little bit more of a challenge.
Right.
So.
But it is the detailing approach.
It is, and sometimes, you know, it'll depend. I know that at Cornell they have 70 attendings, so it's really difficult. I know at Yale they have the same issue, so it's time-consuming. Mm-hmm. But it does. It's very valuable. It's incredibly valuable.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next question, operator?
Yes, ma'am. Our next question or comment comes from the line of Janet Krause from Lenox Hospital. Your line is open.
Hi, Janet.
You may need to unmute your phone.
Hi, this is Kathleen Dean, and I'm actually the nurse manager for the neonatal ICU at Lenox Hill Hospital. Hello. And I'm calling because we here at Lenox Hill have been conducting some survey research, and even though the surveys are aggregate, it's pseudo-coded, it does need to be presented to an IRB because it's dealing with human subjects, which are our professional staff. So could you please comment on the exempt status of this survey?
I'll have to look into that and see what other hospitals have done in regard to that. In the past, the hospitals have not gone through the IRB process for these surveys because they are totally blinded and, you know, but I'll look into it.
Okay, thank you. I just know just conducting research here as a principal investigator, all research needs, whether it's anonymous or pseudo-coded, does need to just go through that IRB. Our second question today is from Janet Krause.
Good afternoon. Question that we have not done the survey as of yet, and we're operationalizing it. What is your expectation for completion of the preliminary survey?
November 28th.
November 28th. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Again, ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question or comment at this time, please press the 1 key on your touchtone telephone. Our next question or comment comes from the line of Javier Ruiz from GNYA. Your line is open.
Hello, it's Rafael. I was listening to the call, and in regards to the IRB question, most universities, universities and medical centers do require that human subject research go through an IRB. However, even if it's just a formality to receive the exemption status, since these data are not going to be patient specific. And they would be presented.
It's only staff data, Raphael. We can talk about it offline. Yeah.
Right. Well, I'm saying it would probably be simple to get an exemption.
Right.
But it would need to go through the IRB to get the exemption. That's all I was saying.
Thank you.
Our next question or comment comes from the line of Michelle Sagano from New Shore University. Your line is open.
Yeah, this is Dr. Peter Walker from North Shore LIJ. On the issue of IRB, if we're not going to publish this data and it's not patient-related, I don't think that there's any need to have this go through an IRB, and it's just basically a pain in the butt, candidly. And this work has been done lots of places, including a very prominent study done by Peter Pronovost at Hopkins in the ICU environment, and I refer you to both their process, and it was much more complicated because there are many more people involved. But this is bedrock of any of this kind of work that we're going to do. But if we're not planning to publish the specific results of our questionnaires relative, and we're not certainly not going to impede the rights of any patients in this, it's just our own environment.
That's our understanding, Dr. Walker.
I think there's any need to take this to the IRB. And IRBs, you know, can get very pontifical and slow the whole thing down. I mean, if you take this where everybody's IRB, you're not going to make November 28th.
Right. And our goal is for November 28th. In the collaborative, this is on a fast track. And, you know, individual hospitals, if you have an issue, we can certainly talk about it. But as I said, we'll look into it. And I know they did not do that in the other parts of the country where they're just doing patient satisfaction or staff culture safety surveys. We do patient satisfaction surveys all the time, and that's with the patient. And I don't believe that goes through the IRB process.
Prescani would not be able to declare a dividend if we did that.
Exactly. Thank you.
Our next question or comment, again, comes from the line of Wendy Wilcox from Montefiore. Your line is open.
Hi, Wendy.
Hi, Terry. This is Dr. Wendy Wilcox again. In relation to research studies versus QI, studies, usually for QI, either surveys or studies, one does not need to go through the IRB process. Definitely, we don't do that unless you're, and there's actually a difference in terms of, you know, what kind of research or study you're conducting and processes that really are involved for the purposes of quality improvement don't really need to go through that process.
Thank you. I appreciate that information. So I think unless everyone hears otherwise, at this point we're going to move forward with the culture safety survey as a quality improvement initiative, and the deadline is November 28th. Of course, we'll take surveys that come in afterwards, but we're really shooting for a high compliance by the 28th. Any other comments on the line, operator?
We have no other questions or comments on the queue at this time, ma'am.
Okay, great. That was great. So if folks have any questions about the survey or if we hear anything different in regard to IRB, we will certainly reach out to everyone. And again, we are seeking 100% participation in this survey. And as a reminder, the survey is serving two purposes. One, it's to survey and to assess your culture of safety going into this initiative. And secondly, and very importantly, it's to introduce those that are not part of the collaborative team or have not been at one of the sessions, introduce them to the collaborative, because quite often everyone does not get the information. data collection, we will be focusing on the next conference call as far as what data elements we will be looking at. In the meantime, I ask everyone on the call who has some type of data collection tool, or if you collect data, to please send us the types of data that you do collect at this moment so that we can have an assessment of what's actually going on within each of your organizations, and we can get a better idea of the types of data elements that we should be focusing on for the management of labor to see how this initiative is moving forward. So any feedback on the data and the data elements that we should be collecting and the population of patients we should be collecting them on would be greatly appreciated. From previous collaboratives that we've done at Greater New York and UHF, one of our biggest challenges are it's always the upfront data identification, what those data elements should be, the data definitions. And even after we decide on those data definitions and data elements, it's an evolving process so that as we learn and we grow within this particular collaborative, we make changes. So the collaborative is very responsive to any of your suggestions or concerns in regard to data. So that's the data piece. Next is another item in your package, and that's your team assessment scale. There are two documents that we'd ask you to send in also by the 28th of November. One is your team monthly report, and this is a template, and we'll be asking for a monthly report every month from you. For this report, we'll ask you to name your team members, and if your team is the same as on the original application, you don't have to rename them. Don't go through that effort. But if you have a different team doing a particular activity for that month, then you may want to name their names. So, for instance, everyone probably will have pretty much the same monthly report for November 28th. And that report will be updating us on the culture safety survey. So this is the introduction one. The template would be what's your goal, what percentage of staff do you want to fill in the survey. Testing the Planned Use Study Act cycle is not necessary this time around, and we'll get into that in the future. But that is just a term of art in the QI world in regard to what's your plan. So this month your plan is to achieve 100% compliance with the culture of survey. What's your due is to administer and collect the surveys from everyone. What's the study? The study is the data that you send back to Greater New York, and we will be submitting that information to you. And then the act is acting upon the data that you submit back. So that's basically Plan, Do, Study, Act in a simplistic form, and the Cultural Safety Survey is a nice way of introducing that. If you've done something else during the month on your own, not part of the collaborative, you can also list those accomplishments in this report. And then list your plans for the coming months. We don't expect that at this point. In fact, if you're doing something on your own, you can list them. But if you're doing it something as part of the collaborative, we'll be spoon-feeding the steps of the collaborative conference call by conference call. And then the rest of the form is self-explanatory. And then there'll be a team assessment form, and that's assessing your team. So you already put your team together. You're already in the process of planning for the project. There has been activity. The first activity is you came to the kickoff session. Second activity is you're on this conference call, and is all the team on the call? And is the team engaged? And the third activity now will be the culture safety survey. You won't be testing any changes in regard to the collaborative yet, so you won't be able to assess whether or not you're making any improvements other than you're making gains with getting the survey filled out. So if you have any questions in that process, we're happy to answer them now or on the side, and we can address those issues that you have. But that report will be submitted to us also every month along with the data once we define that issue.
And the key to that report is very brief. We don't want you to get hung up on the details.
And if you have to leave something blank, leave it blank.
Fine.
We're more looking that you're engaged and that the collaborative is moving along and that it hasn't fallen off the radar screen. So that said, before we open up all the lines for general comments and discussion, I think it's important to go back to some of the comments that we heard in the beginning. One was on the training and that actual training course. And I know many hospitals have received training from FOJP or through ACOG or through A1. Our goal through this collaborative is to take the best of breed of trainings, including the training that we did here on the 16th and 17th, and try to come up with what that one-day training would look like and what that certification would look like for all of the hospitals. I think it would be, as we said at the collaborative, a huge, huge, huge achievement that would be publishable and put this collaborative and the hospital, each of your hospitals, on the map. If we can pull together something where we take a stand and we talk about standardized nomenclature, standardized education, standardized certification, and achieving it for all 100% of the staff that pass through the doors of perinatal services. So, Mike, I have two questions or thoughts or comments. One, when we the training on the 16th and 17th, of course, was expensive, and it would be expensive to individual hospitals to actually hire Michael Leonard and Michael Fox for a day. And the reality is if they came to your hospital for one day, you would only be able to teach a certain group of staff because everyone would not be available. We heard many hospitals after the collaborative calling us and at the collaborative asking if Greater New York could do something in UHF to expand training. So the question number one is that the type, if that training was to be modified to include neonatal services and other concerns in the training, is that the type of training that you think it would be worth us looking into as setting the standard for the crew resource management and fetal monitoring strip training? Or is there another training out there that you think would be more effective? That's one question. Secondly, if we were to move forward with this type of training, we have at Greater New York and UHF very limited resources, so we certainly cannot afford to pay for training for everyone. But what we have done at Greater New York in the past in regard to other issues, generally legal issues, HIPAA compliance, is we've put together a coalition of hospitals where hospitals all contribute either $5,000 or $10,000, and then we can hire. If all the hospitals in the collaborative actually did that, we would be able to hire Michael Fox or at least for 20 days over the course of 6 months, and that would give everyone an opportunity to send your staff to any one of those sessions during the 20-day period, and then we could work together as the collaborative putting together what the test and certification program would look like, and that we could do in partnership with ACOG, MISNI, Michael Fox, Michael Leonard's, and the carriers. And I do know FOJP, from what I heard, is they do have some type of certification in place already. So anything that we could borrow or have shared with the collaborative, we're not looking to reinvent the wheel. So those are just some thoughts, and we'll look for other funders for funding as well. But it may be a very economical way to get everyone trained and educated, and it would achieve multiple things. Number one, it would be team training. Everyone would be trained regardless of discipline together, and it also brings all hospitals to the table because we found it, the hospitals have shared with us, that they find it very helpful to hear stories and experiences from other hospitals, not just their own hospital. So, operator, if you could open up the lines, we'd like to have a lot of discussion on this.
Yes, ma'am. Our first question or comment comes from the line of Mimi Lim from New York Queens Hospital. Your line is open.
Hi, thank you. Steve Schuster again. I would make a case for a web-based program in terms of particularly the fetal monitoring. There are some that are sort of available and some not completely available as yet, but some such program whereby we could involve voluntary attendings in a more user-friendly fashion, followed by some sort of an examination, much as it's done when you have the MLMIC required testing. I think that would be very, very useful. In terms of team training, the person-to-person interaction has a significant import in that, and I think that that may have to go a different route. But in terms of needs regarding fetal monitoring training and uniformity of nomenclature, I would make the case that a web-based system with some sort of testing that's uniform would be very helpful for us.
And we can certainly look into that. I think as our first step, however, we really so far have been pretty sold on the idea of team training with the fetal monitoring interpretation. For the folks that were at the session, I think the integration of the two together was what made the difference instead of just memorizing the fetal monitoring strips. But for anyone who was at the training, if you have thoughts. Operator.
Our next question or comment comes from the line of David Gary from Jacoby Medical Center. Your line is open.
Hello.
Yes, actually I'm very happy to hear that you considered getting Michael Fox back again in some collaborative way, because that is what I wanted this staff here at both our facilities to hear that particular talk. The DVD that I received after that talk doesn't match the talk that he gave that day. And that happened to be one of the better, his methodology of giving the talk, very motivated, as well as the information contained, has been one of the better ones I've heard over the many years. And I would very much like that to be reproduced or in some manner to our staff here.
Okay, and that's great to hear. So do you think your hospital would be interested in contributing a small amount? All right, next question, operator.
Yes, ma'am. Our next question or comment comes from the line of Marianne DiStefano from Staten Island. Your line is open.
Hi, Marianne.
What about reproducing it by doing video conferencing? Watching Michael Fox, and we can do it then collaboratively, our end and physicians together.
That's a consideration. I think if it were recertification, that would be the ideal way. But what would your challenge be if either way, if we had to bring him to the table and pay fees for him? Is it the travel and getting people to another location?
Yes. And then covering the units when the staff is gone. So.
But even if we did it by video conference, you have to cover the units. And we're finding that the staff tell us when they're in their own institution for training, they're often pulled back to work. There's something lost in it.
You have to make the commitment not to do that.
You save the travel time.
Right. Save the travel time and the...
Did this... We could probably, if it's a course of 20 days, do it in different locations so that there's not so much travel time. But this is a commitment. And
staff still doesn't want to go. They would prefer to do it here.
They don't want to travel into Manhattan.
Right.
Yeah. I just am concerned that we'll dilute the quality of the program, especially for the initial program. But we'll certainly take it under advisement because no decision has been made nor financial input has been committed yet. But thank you.
Our next question or comment comes from the line of Diane Kornachowski from Lutheran Hospital. Your line is open.
Hi, this is Maureen LaBerth. I just have a question about the certification. Would this complement or take the place of certification that many of the staff already have, and would it be in a specific area, or would it be considered all of obstetrics?
It would be in the area of, it would be COIN management of labor program, and it would be a combination crew resource management, fetal monitoring interpretation, and it would complement any other certifications. The goal of doing it this way would be to say across the continuum of hospitals in the collaborative, everyone has had this specific training so that there's not nuances in the variation in the way staff are trained in different programs.
I also have to...
Do you have suggestions or thoughts or other ideas?
Oh, I was just concerned about how it would, how it would work with that, but I have to put in my two cents for the web-based seminar or the video conference, I think, is probably a better idea for trying to get multiple people at once.
Right. And if we did it over 20 days, then it's getting people over a course of 20 different times during the year.
That would work.
In different locations.
I think that's the best idea so far, anyway. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next question or comment comes from the line of Stephen Inglis from Jamaica Hospital. Your line is open.
Hello, everyone. I'm Stephen Inglis, the acting chair of Jamaica Hospital. My concern is financing, and Michael Donato just spoke to ACOG just last week and said a couple of times that he's trying to get a lot of the certifications that we're doing to be reflected in our malpractice policy expenses. And maybe we could go at a highest level possible between whomever to get some traction through Donato to get us to kind of get guaranteed reductions in the policies if we can, you know, prove that we've done XYZ.
Now, I'm glad you brought up that point. We're actually at Greater New York working with Mr. Donato on the MedMal reform policy. So, and also with the State Department of Health, and I know Dr. Danes and this task force on MedMal reform are very committed to looking at these types of strategies. So Dr. Morley is on our committee, and we will also talk to the insurance department about the potential of premium reductions.
One more thing?
Yes.
I'm just concerned. I'm kind of on the other side in terms of using the web. I think in reality, it's very hard to truly get people motivated and really pushing everyone else to make this happen. We are already the converted. It's everyone else that is going to be the hard part. And I don't see people looking at a computer screen and getting excited about it and making it happen 24/7 in all these hospitals.
Thank you.
Our next question or comment comes from the line of Sasha James from Long Island Hospital. Your line is open.
Sasha? Hello?
You may need to unmute your phone, please.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, thank you. I have a few comments. The one related to the financial piece is a very strong piece because many of us have invested thousands and thousands of dollars to ask everyone to become certified in fetal monitoring interpretation or purchase the GE online product, which is like $20,000 or more for an institution, a large institution. So to then go and make a new decision from the collaborative to go with another vehicle, even though the goal is to standardize nomenclature, we really have to think about that. If they're all using NICHD language and that's the language that we have been asked to utilize, then can we use the approach that we've just spent a large amount of money on to do within our institutions? That's the first comment. And then the other comment is related to crew resource management. I'm not quite sure that the seminar that we attended was truly a vehicle in which we have now the ability to then disseminate that information or that lecture was a crew resource management. I think it introduced the subject, it introduced it, but I think there are courses out there that spend a large amount of time with simulation and actual examples like LifeWings program. That are already out there, that there are experts who are trained in crew resource management and then come in and simulate work within your own institution. And I'm not sure that we are now prepared based on that 1 4-hour session to do that within our institutions.
I would agree that everyone's not totally prepared in the crew resource management. That's why we're trying to talk about what the ideal program would be. In regard to your other comment, if hospitals have already certified 100% of the staff and met that goal, we're certainly not going to – number one, through the collaborative, nothing is mandatory. Hospitals have to buy on to whatever piece of the collaborative they feel is most helpful for their own organization, because everyone is in different positions, both financially and talent-wise and staffing-wise and training-wise. When we talk about additional investments, we're talking about probably $5,000 if every hospital joined, which is rather minimal to get real live training and create that enthusiasm. Part of the issue is not only the education but it's more importantly creating the camaraderie between staff members and creating the enthusiasm to say, yes, we have to do a better job.
Right, and that piece of it is part of, you know, you can have a certification and you can have an online program, but you have to have the dialogue and the interaction within your own institution to do that.
Right, and that's what we're hoping, that's why we like the concept of a more engaging process of having different disciplines at the table together, because we could do all the training and certification in the world, but unless we accomplish that, it's all going to be set up for failure.
Right, and that was one of the suggestions, and you could take an online program, but if you don't have a regular forum in which nurses and physicians are dialoguing about fetal monitoring interpretation with the regular rounding, et cetera, to utilize the tools, then it really is of less value than you know, having something in isolation.
Any other questions, operator?
Yes, ma'am. My next question or comment comes from the line again of Mimi Lim from New York, Queens. Your line is open.
Hi, Steve Schuster again. I'm listening to the exchanges, and it sounds like it reminds me of the story. I'll try to make it short. Two people are watching two other people fight. One says, isn't that terrible? People don't sit and evaluate one another and reason together. And he walks over to where the two are fighting, picks up a stick, beats them both, and starts to wave his finger at them. His friend comes over and says, what are you doing? I thought you talked about reasoning. He said, well, first you have to get their attention. So it seems to me that what we're doing now is we could do both of these. A web-based system could get their attention. The implementation, which the last speaker spoke of, which is so important, would be part of the ongoing implementation process, which goes on. It's ongoing, and it goes on over years and years as it changes. So I would make the case for a web-based program for the fetal monitoring, an interactive program for the team training or the crew resource management, and I think in that fashion we would get some attention, we would get the buy-in of some of the private attendings, and we could move forward. I believe that the longer we spend the time talking about getting people on-site in places, we're going to lose a lot of the voluntary attendings. We'll get all the full-timers, and we'll get all the staff nurses, but the buy-in of the rest of them I think is going to be difficult. And that would be the point that I would make. But, of course, I look forward to see how it develops. Thank you so much.
Our next question or comment comes from the line of Rosa McCardo from Christ Hospital. Your line is open.
Hello, Rosa.
Hi, this is Laurie Shrungone. I'd like to make a comment about having conferences outside of your own organization. I think that having been a regional trainer for the A1 program, you find that people make the commitment to go outside of their own organization as well as the hospital itself, and no matter how much you say you're going to make the commitment not to pull people back to staff or whatever, the reality is with increase in census and, you know, staffing issues themselves, people tend to get called back. I've had the experience where people actually will go to a conference in another organization thinking that they're getting a better program or a different program when the same exact program has been offered for them in their own organization and they don't take advantage of that. And then the other comment that I would like to make is that in terms of the web-based program, I think that that's a good idea for the future, but in the beginning, I think while you're getting all of the staff, physicians, and nurses together, there is extremely valuable to have everybody sitting in the same place talking the same language, and that in the future to have some sort of web-based program. I agree that getting the private attending staff is probably going to be difficult, but once you get a few who participate and then are involved in the process, you'll find that the word will spread and it will become a valuable tool for everybody because they need the nurses to speak the same language as themselves and rely so highly on the nurses having that I think they'll find that it's extremely valuable.
Thank you. That's helpful.
Our next question or comment comes from the line of Stephen Inglis from Jamaica Hospital. Your line is open.
Hi. In terms of just implementing, I was wondering whatever happened to train the trainer. Theoretically, if we could develop some people with expertise, you could have a few people who you could call upon from each of the boroughs to kind of assist each of the local hospitals there.
I'm glad you mentioned that. We did actually speak to Michael Leonard and Michael Fox to say if we brought them back to New York again in December, we'd like to offer one course one day to get those staff members of your institutions that weren't able to go to the original kickoff meeting, but the second day for each collaborative member to identify two or three of your staff or maybe attendings to go to a train-the-trainer program so that we create our own infrastructure in this region and we have our own regional experts. So thank you for saying that.
If I could just change the subject a little bit, just one more question is, are we thinking about how to help each of the institutions if they want to set up an educational process or a drill of sorts for Hemridge or Stat C section or Dystocia? Are we still trying to do that, or are you going to hold that until later?
What we thought after evaluating what's going on, we thought the collaborative would introduce the management of the patient in labor. Once we tackle that piece, include the team management, the cultural safety, and the fetal monitoring strip interpretations, then introduce each of those modules. And hopefully at the next learning session in March, we'll use more crew resource management and simulation training models if that would be of value.
Good.
And
I think it would be worth considering, Terry, trying to at least get some resources immediately available on the Jenny website of what people have got. In other words, I need to do a hemorrhage protocol. Does somebody have one that they're willing to give to the collaboratives I can just borrow and change and alter and get myself going? Because I'm sure a lot of the other institutions are in the same boat. They could use some help.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And we're going to get that inventory all together up on the Jenny.
Right.
And we've asked FLJP to please share whatever they have, and hopefully in the future they will be. And we had a conference call, I think Donna Williams may be on the line, with ACOG, and they were going to put an inventory of what they've already developed. And they've put a substantial amount of time and effort into development materials that are out there. So we'll look at that inventory.
Terry, if we can, we should really make it easier for us to find out what's available in a central way, if possible, so I know what ACOG's got, et cetera.
Okay, that would be great, as long as everyone's willing to share their information. And each of your hospitals on the line, if you want to de-identify some of your protocols, if you feel they're good protocols, I would suggest you take the name of your hospital off unless you're comfortable posting the name, and then we can put it up on a secure location on the Jenny. Our first challenge is to get everyone registered onto the Jenny.
To encourage it, I think it would help.
Yes. Next comment?
We have no additional questions or comments in the queue at this time, ma'am. I'm sorry, we have two that just came in.
Okay.
Davina Santon from Montefiore, your line is open.
Hello. I'd like to, can you hear me?
Yes, yes, very well.
Okay. I'd like to just notify you that the Department of Health has actually come up with a hemorrhage poster. So that is something readily available for anybody that would like to have a copy.
Okay, and we'll look into getting that out to everyone.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you.
I'll let you know. And also my comment regarding participation of anesthesiologists. You see, I'm an anesthesiologist, and in our hospital, at least, we have what we call OB-friendly anesthesiologists that take call. But I was looking at the protocol regarding your climate survey, safety survey, and it says about 20 hours and per week. So you're talking here about being able to average it, like over a month, right? Because some of us will take 16-hour calls or some 24-hour calls, so we may actually be spending the number of hours but not in 1 week. And so I just wanted to find out from you whether we will have to make sure that these people are part of the team, because they do participate and maybe on call on weekends when there's actually more need for greater understanding of what...
And who enters and helps manage labor,
yes,
or the outcome from the labor should be part of the team. So please invite them to participate.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
Our next question or comment comes from the line of Ms. Marianne Distasano from Staten Island. Your line is open.
Maybe you can email us a directory of all the hospitals participating.
Yes, we will get that all out to you. We've been just trying to update the database and get all the information together, but we will get that out to you. I think that so far, if you're on the line and you have not completed your application, Eden Rollins, my assistant, will be getting out to you to make sure that that's completed. If you have completed your application, thank you. And we're currently assessing the information on those applications, and we'll share them also with everyone on the line. So far, we had about 22 completed applications, and there were 33 hospitals represented at the session.
Thank you.
And it's still open to other hospitals.
Again, ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question or comment at this time, please press the 1 key on your touch-tone phone. I'm showing no additional questions or comments in the queue at this time, ma'am.
Okay, great. Thank you. So just in closing, the 28th of November is a big target date for the surveys and for the monthly progress report. We will be looking at data elements for data collection process moving forward. We are really anxious to hear from everyone on the line if you have good tools in place or you have good suggestions for what those measures should be. At our next advisory panel meeting, we'll also be vetting some of those issues. We will be cataloging and taking an inventory of what type of protocols are already in existence, what best practices are there, and we will be getting the post that presentation to everyone. We will get the poster from the State Department of Health, or at least access the information as to where you can order your posters for moving forward. And we appreciate any other comments or suggestions that you do have. We did video record the October 16th session, so we will be going through the editing process of that and sending that out to everyone through the an internet link. So if there are no further questions or clarification, we need to hear from you and guide us as we move forward in regard to what programs exist, what certification programs exist, and we want to be very respectful of everything you've already done in regard to perinatal safety, and we will be using your experiences in that area, hopefully having you share them with others on the calls moving forward so that we can share some best practices and strategies. And I would also, we will send out a quick questionnaire to see if we do some standardized training, if hospitals would be able to commit a limited amount of resources so that you can optimize the training experience. Any other questions, operator, before we close?
We have no additional questions or comments in the queue at this time, ma'am.
Okay. Thank you, everyone on the line, for your very, very helpful thoughts, comments, and suggestions. We'll take it all under advisement, and we'll put together some questions for everyone or wait to hear back from you as far as additional suggestions. Hillary, any other comments?
Just that we'll talk to you again November 15th. So
yes.
We'll send out a reminder about that.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for participating in today's conference. This concludes the program. You may now disconnect. Everyone have a wonderful day.